The eight is challenging, powerful, interested in being the leader. So when the eight is doing well, when they are on their resourceful side, eights approach life with magnanimity, strength, and fairness. Eights have a natural ability to get, to use, and to keep power. Now, power isn't always bad, right? Power used well can be helpful. Eights tend to be direct. They will tell you what they think, hopefully in love, but they will tell you what they think. They tend to be energetic and confident and self-assured. Eights are very interested in justice. Justice is very important to the eight, and so they will stand up for the underdog. They want to eliminate anything that is unjust or wrong in the world. On the less resourceful side, when the eight is less in their zone, they can become overly interested in power and so be overly controlling, aggressive, and even vengeful. Instead of being one who stands up for the just, they do the exact opposite and they become a bully. It's kind of a paradox here, but it has to do with that anger that they're feeling and the loss of control that they feel when they get on that less resourceful side. And so they seek to dominate others rather than be dominated. And they have trouble being compassionate because they are filled with this anger and this fear that they will be weak. So at their best, an eight is compassionate and inspiring and direct and resilient and energetic and empowering, protective and self-confident. All wonderful ways to be. At their worst, they can become loud and vengeful, excessive, controlling, rebellious, insensitive, domineering, and self-centered. Stop me if you have any questions or comments. The core belief for the number eight is that this is a hard and unjust world. It's not safe to be soft and vulnerable. If I let my vulnerable side show, I will be in trouble. And so power, strength is what is given off. And that's their coping strategy. They're going to be in control. They're going to get what they want. They're going to impose their will on others, lest it be imposed on them. Their fear, obviously, is then in being weak or powerless or vulnerable. They don't want people to underestimate them or humiliate them. They feel that if they are not powerful, they will be manipulated. And so they turn around and they become manipulators instead. Their core desire is to protect from harm, themselves from harm, from the challenges of life, and from being controlled by someone else. God does give the eight a very important gift, and that is God's power and God's protection. God is all-powerful, but that is not a power that manipulates or hurts others. That is a power that is always used for the good. And when the eight can tap into God's power, the eight can make huge and wonderful impacts on the world. Their passion is lust and shamelessness. Now, that lust does not just mean a sexual lust. It means a lust for power, a lust for glory, a lust for anything. They want, they want, they want. And they can be shameless in their pursuit of it. They want to avoid at all costs seeming to be vulnerable or weak. And their inner critic is always telling them, you are weak, which leads them then to try to overcome that and prove that they are not. In order to transform and grow, they need to work on tenderness and grace. And so if you are an eight, your world can miss things like being comforted by others and touched by their care. You're not going to show your vulnerable side. So how are you going to let others care for you and love you? You're going to miss experiencing your own tenderness and gentleness if you're not a healthy eight. You won't feel forgiveness and compassion that's offered you. It's hard for an eight to relax and just be present in a room, just be part of a group. You know, they have to control it. They have to be the one that, you know, walks in the room and everybody knows they're there. We said their passion was lust and their defense mechanism is to deny, deny, deny. They live on the river of denial. And it's a long, big river. Their wounded childhood message, somewhere along the line, they got the idea that they were vulnerable and that that was not okay. That power was what would keep them safe. And the message that their heart longs to hear is, you will not be betrayed if you will be just you. God's invitation to the eight is, I invite you to be free from the fear of being vulnerable and unprotected. I will guard you with my love. Let go of the false idea that you must stand your ground and have your way to maintain control of your life. The idea of surrender, very hard for an eight. So you might be an eight if you have clear, firm ideas of what should be done. If you are alert to people with hidden agendas, if you get irritated with people who beat around the bush, you like people who are direct and get to the point and don't spend a lot of time on the edges. You don't like group decision making. It's a waste of time. Just let me tell you what we're going to do and let's go do it. What are we talking about it for? You enjoy leadership. You find that others want you to be a leader. They push you to be the leader. They expect you to be in leadership. You're practical. You get the job done and you're not afraid to take a stand. You might be an eight if you're energized by conflict. If you just, you know, wow, there's something going on and I want to get in there and fight the good fight with everybody else. And you might be an eight if you find your softer emotions sneak up to you when you're least expecting them. And then, oh my goodness, if you're not very well integrated, that can scare the life out of you. Eights would never dream of not saying what they think. Eights would never dream of stepping down from authority because they thought someone else could be better at it. They're always the best at it. They wouldn't dream of playing a game and not trying to win. Extremely competitive. They would not dream of saying, let's do it your way. Oh no, it's always my way or the highway. Allowing someone to disrespect them without retaliating. An eight will get you back if you get them. Eights, when they're healthy, are charismatic and they love a challenge. They have great willpower and vitality. Eights want to leave their mark on the world. They do want to make the world a better place. They do not want others to have power over them. That's their biggest fear. They tend to be rugged individualists. They seek justice for all and they want to protect the vulnerable. They're bold, self-confident, and fearless, and they are impatient with inaction. Let's get on with it. Meetings drive them crazy. Limiting subconscious beliefs for a type 8 is that the world is a hard and unjust place. If you feel that about the world, then it's hard to really engage in it, isn't it? If you're feeling that it's not a fair or safe place to be. They believe that emotional needs are equated with weakness, so they can't show them, they can't let them out. They believe that only the strong survive, and by goodness, they're going to be one of those that survive. That it's not safe to show softness or vulnerability. That if they are not powerful, they will be taken advantage of, and so they must be powerful and take advantage of the innocent. They must always be in control of their environment, and to be loved, they must be strong and self-reliant. That will make them lovable instead of just the opposite. So we have, as always, different levels of development for the eight, all the way up to magnanimous hero and self-confident person, constructive leader. In the average range, enterprising adventurer, dominating power broker, confrontational adversary. And on the lower levels, an eight can be a ruthless tyrant, an omnipotent megalomaniac, try to say that three times, or a violent destroyer. Many people would put our current president in this role. I put him in the three, if you remember. And one of the reasons I do that, and I'm on a short list. Every place I read, this is where most people put him. But that idea of being so for justice and the underdog, I have yet to see that in President Trump. And so that's, but that's my own bias. So, you know, you can take it or leave it. And that's why I have trouble seeing him as an eight. Although some of the behaviors certainly are there. Healthy eights. We've said a lot of this already, are self-confident, self-assertive, courageous, and strong. Powerful, self-reliant, and they have a passionate inner drive. Like I said before, you know when an eight has walked in the room, they kind of fill the room. You know someone like that? When they're in the room, they just kind of, their presence is felt. They follow the beat of their own drummer, and they want to make an impact on the world. They're people of action, not just words. They have no problem taking initiative, going after what they want, and making things happen. They like to be in charge, and so they make natural leaders. They care about truth and justice, and they stand up for what they believe in, and they use their strength to stand up for the rights and needs of others. They are selfless providers and protectors, are extremely protective of their loved ones. This is, you know, where we talk about the mama bear whose claws come out when their children are in danger. Could be an eights kind of way of being. They like to champion and empower others. Healthy eights don't want to be the only power in the room. They want to share that and empower other people to also be able to be all they can be. They like to challenge and test people's mettle to bring out their strengths. Healthy eights believe everyone should have a healthy fighting spirit and a strong will. And they kind of don't understand that if you don't. They're self-starters and resourceful people who are exceptionally loyal to those who earn their trust. In the more average range, eights fear being harmed or controlled by others, so they become tough to protect themselves. They often feel as though they don't need anybody. As we said, rugged individualists make it on their own. They believe that the world is an unjust place and they can't let their guard down for a second. They instinctively suppress any vulnerability, any self-doubt, or any fear. And they do everything they can to obtain the resources that they need to stay in control. They tend to be hardworking, pragmatic, shrewd, competitive, ambitious, and enterprising. They like to seem important. They like it if people notice that they're the big man or woman in the room. And they may make big promises or shows of power and importance that they may or may not keep. Average eights are intense, rugged, and tend to do things to excess. They enjoy pushing themselves, testing their limits. They'll take risks. They work hard and they play hard. And they tend to be daring, bold, and audacious, adventurous, and live life with gusto. Average eights have major issues with trust. Everybody's out to get me. Everybody will steal my power, so you can't trust. They can be blunt. Like we said, they're going to say what they think. Healthy eights know how to do that in a way that doesn't turn everybody off or hurt people. Average eights are going to be more hurtful in what they may say. They can be egocentric, disrespectful, and proud. These are bullies. If they're not healthy, these are bullies who will put people down in any way they can in order to elevate themselves. They can see all of their relationships as adversarial. Even their loved ones can be an adversary if they're not healthy. And so they can become confrontational and combative. You say the sky is blue, and they're going to argue with you, and they're going to be mean about it. If they're not healthy. If they're really unhealthy, that they fear that others are going to take advantage of them, so they impose their will on others to let people know who's boss and who's in control. They don't see others as equals, and so they treat them with no respect, really. They see everything as a contest, and so they're constantly confronting, bullying, and challenging people. They use threats, intimidation tactics, and reprisals to get people to comply and obey them. They believe they're in a fight for their survival. This isn't just because I want to do this. This is because if I don't do it, I will cease to be. I will die. I will be eaten up. They don't feel they're wanted. They're social outcasts. They're outlaws. They're mavericks. They're on the fringe when they're unhealthy. They can delusionally believe that they can't be harmed. They can feel like they're superpowers, Superman, Batman. They can feel omnipotent and invulnerable like the Terminator. Is he an eight? I don't know. They completely lack empathy when they're very unhealthy. They become hard-hearted, callous, and ruthless. They can be extremely aggressive, amoral, physically violent, and destructive. And if they become destructive, they can be murderous tyrants who won't hesitate to destroy everything, including themselves, rather than submit. Their motto might be something like, kill or be killed. Now, this is on a real unhealthy level. Okay, but you can see how it can go from being real healthy to disintegrating. So, core coping strategies. What do eights do to get through the world? They naturally notice who has the power and who has control. They'll size the room up pretty quick and know where the power is, and they'll go be near that power, and they'll try to get that power. They'll impose their will and truth on others so that they can stay in control or get control if they don't have it. They have a strong sense of self and being self-assertive. They'll cope by fighting perceived injustices. Sometimes it's injustice to themselves. Sometimes it's to someone in the world. They'll cope by being strong and forceful. They'll have a high threshold for pain. They won't show their pain. They'll seem to be fearless and tenacious, decisive and authoritative. They'll deny any vulnerability. They'll take control of everything and everyone. And healthy eights will cope by protecting the weak, the innocent, and the disadvantaged. Things eights can do to kind of help themselves be a healthy eight: they can practice waiting and listening before taking action. Allow some impatience for that impatience. Let the patience come, you know. Don't be so annoyed that this meeting is taking 100 years. Try to listen. Try to listen. Someone else might have something worthwhile to say. Realize that experiencing vulnerability and tender feelings are not signs of weakness. They might just be signs of strength. Pay more attention to the impact your intensity has on others. Notice the pained look in the face of someone that you've just insulted, and maybe recognize that that was maybe not the best way to say what you were thinking, and maybe say it some different way. Start to question whether your excessive behaviors are a way of concealing something else that's going on inside of you. Allow yourself to relax. Breathe deeply and quiet your body. Write down and review insights about yourself. Learn to appreciate the everyday aspects of life and don't always need to have everything be exciting and challenging and, you know, the next big event. Practice delaying gratification and stimulation. Be okay with the mundane. And seek to look for ways to compromise and find win-win solutions. Sometimes an eight needs somebody they can trust to just say, let me know if I'm coming on too strong. How did I do in that meeting? Did I seem like I was trying to take control? What'd you think about me? Can help. What's a parable for an eight? Well, one that was suggested is this one. The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field, but while the men were sleeping, the enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants grew up and bore grain, the weeds grew up also. And the servants of the house came and said to him, sir, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then has it weeds? He said to them, an enemy has done this. The servants asked him, then do you want us to go and gather them? But he said, no, lest in gathering the weeds you uproot the wheat also. Let them both grow together until harvest. And then at harvest time, I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barn. Any idea why that might be a parable for the eights?
The eight wants to weed as soon as the eight sees the wheat.
Yes, exactly. The eight cannot see anything but black and white, right? It's either good or it's bad, so those weeds are bad, so we ought to get them out right away. And the parable says, have some patience. Let them grow up together so we can figure out which one's which. Maybe they're not all bad. You know, maybe we make a mistake and pull out the wrong ones if we're too hasty. So patience, and not everything is black and white, could be the moral of that story for an eight. Miriam may have been an eight, Moses' sister. She took charge a lot in the process of going through the Exodus, danced and sang and took center stage for a little while, also helped save Moses in the bushes. And John the Baptist, hellfire and brimstone, telling people to repent and believe and change your life. He was a pretty strong, powerful kind of guy. Spoke up, sometimes made people mad, but he didn't care, right? Even when he got his head chopped off, still spoke up before it. So was Jesus an eight? Yes. He's all the numbers, right? So yes, Jesus chased the money changers out of the temple. He had anger, wasn't putting up with the injustice, wanted people to be treated fairly, charged the Pharisees with hypocrisy, called them whited sepulchers, and, you know, told them what he thought. Let them know when they were wrong. Any other examples you can think of Jesus being an eight? I'm sure there's many more. A healthy eight, of course. So spiritual growth for the eight is to release the need to be in control and protect yourself. That idea of surrender, so hard for all of us, but for an eight, tremendously difficult. Share their feelings. Learn to accept constructive criticism. Allow themselves to be vulnerable. Very hard for an eight. That's how they'll grow. Yours, Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the majesty and the splendor. For everything in heaven and earth is yours. In your hands are strength and power to exalt and give strength to all. A good message for an eight to remember that they are not the power and the glory of the world, but God is. And Muhammad Ali once said, if you lose a big fight, it will worry you all your life. It will plague you until you get your revenge. I wonder if he was an eight. He sounds like it in that quote, right? Right. So this New Yorker cartoon, I probably can't read it, but it says, the latest polls show your approval rating holding steady at 100%. The eight wants to hear that. And if he doesn't, you're in trouble. And here, Lucy says, I said switch channels. I want to watch my program. Are you kidding? What makes you think you can just walk right in here and take over? These five fingers, individually they're nothing, but when I curl them together like this into a single unit, they form a weapon that is terrible to behold. Which channel do you want? Why can't you guys get organized like that? Because you're not an eight, Linus, you're not an eight. All right, here's some eights. I'm sure you can think of some others. Maybe they're not eights, but we tend to think they may behave like an eight. Rush Limbaugh, yeah. Think he belongs there? Kind of tells what he thinks, right? Kind of think probably if he walked in a room, you'd know it. LBJ had quite a reputation, did he not? For telling it like he thought. Yes, definitely. Yeah, I understand one time he walked into an aide's room office and wasn't happy with something that he had done or said and moved him out of the office and made his office a closet. Just told him off and sent him down packing. So if you crossed him, you would definitely know it, I'm told. That's Queen Latifah, yes? Russell Crowe. Ann Richards. Yeah. She was a strong woman, right? I bet when she walked in the room, everybody knew she was there, huh? Yeah. Can you think of some other people that you'd want to put up there? Joseph, yes. Strong, very strong man. Mm-hmm. Knew what he wanted. And yes, he was definitely in control. Mm-hmm.
Joe Jackson.
Yeah, uh-huh. Yeah? Yeah. What's that cop show, Ed, that we like on Friday nights? What's that show we watch?
Blue Bloods.
Yeah. The father on Blue Bloods, if you watch it.
Yeah.
I think he's a healthy eight, but I think he's definitely an eight, right? And his family certainly does kind of tuck their tail if he doesn't like something that's going on. That'd be a fun show if you watch it, to label each of those people and see who they are, who you think they are, what numbers they are. Probably. Yeah. Huh? No, they don't. They bump heads. Yeah. Yeah. I think in the show, what's his name? Magnum P.I. Selleck. Yeah. I think he is maybe a little higher developed than his dad. Because I think his dad is still struggling with the justice stuff. Wants it, but doesn't quite want to give up his power in order for it to happen. Whereas Selleck is more likely to tuck his tail if he needs to be just for someone else. Yeah. Yeah, there's some good TV shows or movies that you could really take apart and find the different people when you know all the numbers and kind of see how they're at. Uh-huh.
Because I think his dad is probably a healthy eight. I mean, I feel like I was a healthy whatever I was younger, but as I age, I'm more
feisty.
Yeah.
Because you feel more, like you say, more vulnerable.
I'm just less calm. Do you find that?
Well, I think we if we're aging well, I think anything can happen, right? Not all of us age well. But if we're aging well, I think we integrate. But I think sometimes if we've been kind of controlled and not been who we really are and kind of not allowed ourselves to fully express ourselves, then we begin to do that as we get older. We're less worried about what other people think. So we're more apt to say what we really believe about something and let the chips fall where they may, where we may not have been when we were 25. And so that may feel like we're getting worse, but maybe we're actually getting better because we're more expressive of who we are and less worried about the masks that we think we have to. Yeah, we're becoming more real. More real. Yeah, and shedding some of those masks. So an eight who was acting really like a bully may become less that, whereas a nine who may have been all pent up inside may be expressing it more, and people may think, oh, he's gotten real feisty, when in reality he's just expressing himself, maybe learning how, maybe not doing it as well right away, but having to learn how to be real and not overdo it. So I think it's an integration. If we're aging well and we're healthy, if we're down in the lower stages, then perhaps not. But when you take the test to be, what is your number, you're always told to try to remember how you were when you were 25. Because that's before you began to integrate all the other things and you were just more raw who you are. So. Well, that's true. That's true. It's much more challenging for me. It's my vision of what I was when I was 25, right? Which is probably far from reality. Yes. Yes.
I just like an awful thought on power.
Mm-hmm.
When we, like, in today's gospel, why didn't you use your power to help?
Uh-huh.
When we think of God, the Almighty, we always think of God having power to do anything he wants. Why do we have earthquakes? Why did my mother die of cancer? And you get angry and angry. But there's a whole theology now on the power of God, on what is the real power of God. And the real power of God, they're saying, is revealed in the incarnation, in creation, in the cross, and in Philippians. The power of God is he could so totally give of himself without losing himself. And in that giving, and not demanding, is the power of God.
Mm-hmm.
So the powerful eight, and we in our older age, we maybe should look back in our own lives. When have we been more powerful? By telling our kids to do something? Or by giving to our kids and seeing their reaction, seeing their growth, our families, our neighborhood? Where is that real power? Is it in control? Or is it in giving? I mean, and there is a whole a theological thought that sees that's the power of God, both within the Trinity, its full giving, and outside in creation. And then God took on his own creation and on the cross gave, didn't demand punishment for sin. I don't know if I'm making sense, but that's when we say God the Almighty, because then what does it follow with? All that Jesus did, all how God gave himself. Anyhow, I just thought I'd just share that I've been reading a little on that lately, and Notre Dame University actually has some theologians that are pushing this whole concept that we need to rethink, and maybe we won't be so angry with God, you know, if we really realize the role that God has tried to play and invited us to join in with him. Anyhow, so because you mentioned power, and even today's gospel, the way the disappointment was that power wasn't exercised for my good. Well, it was. And that's why. Anyhow, that's I told you.
Ron, did you have your hand up?
Back to blue bloods again.
Yeah.
Do eights normally raise at least 1-8 in their family?
Pardon me?
Do eights normally raise at least 1-8 in their family?
Well, there, of course, yes.
Danny.
And
then the other siblings.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's all kind. Nature or nurture is always the discussion about everything to do with ego and personality. Some Enneagram gurus believe that you're born with your number, and others believe that you kind of become the number that you are based on early life experiences. And some believe, as I do, that it's kind of a combination of the two. But you come into life with a temperament, and then life happens, and you see that those happenings through that temperament that you have. So I think any family could have multiple eights or multiple threes or whatever, but if there's that tendency, then it's going to be either diminished or heightened by what you experience. Yeah. Yeah. So if you have an eight dad or an eight mom, you're probably learning from a very early age that power is important and that you better not be weak. And so if you have that tendency yourself, then you're going to become, your eightness is going to kind of flourish. But if you come into the world as a two or a five and you have an eight dad or mom, that could be very debilitating. And you could have some very difficult experiences if you're wanting to be a helper and take care of people and you're being told that that's a bad thing. You can get some mixed communication in your head.
If you look at those two families, the Kennedys and the Trumps, they're creating eights.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. All right, a song for the eight.